listening to the Behind the Whistles podcast with Des Roach and Steve Conroy in association with Roxburgh Group. If you need insurance, Roxburgh have you covered.
Good afternoon and welcome to Behind the Whistles podcast with your host, me, myself, James Sweeney, brought to you in partnership with both Beaks Group and Roxburgh Insurance Group. I'm joined, as always, by former SFA Category 1 referees Des Roach and Steve Conroy. Good afternoon, gents. How are we?
Hi, James. All the better for seeing you.
Thank you.
Yep. All very good. And Mr. Conroy must be good after just coming back from Bali and swimming in mud baths with elephants.
I tell you what,
slept a wink since.
Where's your tan?
You can't see it for the bright light you've made us wear.
It's been a really busy weekend, as always. It keeps us busy, so not going to complain. But we're just going to go straight into it because obviously there's a big game today and there's a lot of talking points that people want us to discuss. So we're just going to go straight in. So Mirren versus Hearts yesterday. Couple of decisions made on decisions not made. The first one was St Mirren felt they should have a penalty. Can I get Desi's thoughts on it first?
I can see why people would want it, and I could attest to it. But we've seen the fact that McMenamin's cut across him, and what's Denham meant to do to get out the road? So I can understand why it wasn't given. Alan Muir made that decision, and I think he's quite right too.
Stephen, I don't know that.
I agree completely. I have to say, if I was a St Mirren supporter, I'd be baying for it. But there wasn't a foul, there wasn't a penalty, and well done to Alan for sticking to his guns. So no penalty for me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very similar to the one that Celtic were awarded at Tynecastle, where Cochrane and the attack, I can't remember who the Celtic player was, but kind of crossed paths and there was a kind of brushing. That's the kind of, I felt a very similar way about it as I did looking on that one. And we called that one at the time and said, but didn't think that was a penalty? And if it was, it was extremely soft. And that was kind of my own thoughts on it at the time.
Yeah.
So we're quite unanimous on that. Then we didn't feel that it was a penalty and it was the right call not to give.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Penalty, Hearts penalty award. It was done on a VAR review. It was a handball one, which is our favourite subject these days. Own thoughts on it was quite close range. Kind of felt that the boy that struck it hit his elbow as he was trying to pull it around his back. I think it's really cruel. Obviously, we've seen one today, and we'll come back onto that one today. That one's a bit closer range and it's coming at some speed at him, and he's trying to do everything I think he feels to try and get it out of the way. It seems really, really harsh, but again, we go back to that current climate where we've seen them given, and because the handball rule is so convoluted and too open to interpretation, you can understand in the current climate why that was given. Do you have any other thoughts on that at all?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, in the current climate, none of us really have an idea what's right, what's wrong. But in that one, I don't see what the defender could do. What could you do? You've got to be somewhere. And if you're a defender, other than, as we've seen, everybody running about with their arms behind their back or absolutely have the palms of your hands on your hips, what can you do? Not for me, but in the current climate, as you said, we've seen them given. It's an appalling situation that we're in with handball.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I think at this moment in time, the handball rule has gone. If the ball hits you, it's a penalty kick. That's the way it's going. That's the way it's going now. Marcus Fraser has made a genuine attempt to try and block the ball. Where's his arm meant to be? He's trying to balance himself as he's falling. I agree. Under the current circumstances, that it's a law, and I can go with it. But personally, no, and I don't think any right-minded football person would disagree with that. What are you meant to do? The ball is hitting you; you're not hitting the ball. Yep. And I've said for long enough. Steve said for long enough. That's the way the handball should go back to, deliberate or unintentional.
the old ball to hand or hand to ball, etc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the only way. There can be no other way. And it seems to be something that we talk about every week. You know, making yourself big, your arm away from your body, is it natural for a manoeuvre? What you can absolutely say is that it's not natural to have your hands attached to your hips. It's not natural to have your hands behind your back. It's an utter farce and it's a lottery, an absolute lottery.
Yeah, you've got to hope that they do something in the summer. Obviously, they can't do it midway through competition season, but you've got to think that there's been enough high-level incidents and complaints about it that you'd see IFAB looking at it. But with anybody these days, you kind of lost a lack of faith that they will actually do anything. They seem to just carry on these days. But
yeah.
I think that there's a lot of frustration around handball. And I spoke to Des about this a couple of weeks ago, actually, when I'd done some research into why the handball law was actually looked at. It was following, I think, quite a high-profile incident in the Champions League. And when you've got these top-power clubs and a decision goes against and they're holding the power and influence, suddenly they want to start looking at something. And we all suffer as a result because the rules are getting changed to keep the big club happy. So, yeah, it's something that I would like personally to see roll back on, make it easier for fans to understand. I don't think it needed fixed in the first place, as what it is. It's another one of those that we'll discuss, and what would be the last time we discussed them this season?
No, it won't be. No.
Okay, we'll move on. The next game was Aberdeen versus Livingston. And there's the latest storm in a teacup's coming with this one. I'm surprised, actually, that there's not been more in the media about it. And to explain that, Miovski had a goal chopped off for offside at the very end of the game, denying Aberdeen a win. The initial phase of play is a free kick that's going long, and there's a couple of Aberdeen players that are standing in offside positions while they're lined up with the defence. There's a couple of them that are off, but none of them are actually involved in interfering in play. The first Aberdeen player to run on and collect the ball before he crosses it, McDonald, he looks level or he's onside because the number 11 of Livingston, who's around about the D, looks to be keeping him on. The ball comes in for the cross. It's headed by Gatterman and it's saved by the keeper and it drops to Miovski and Miovski puts it in. Both Gatterman are onside when he heads the ball. Miovski's onside when he puts the ball in the back of the net. The referee's called to look at VAR for a reason to chop off the goal, as we keep talking about, and have decided it's offside. But I'm not seeing in that anywhere where someone was, you know, factually offside. And this is where it gets really concerning because when it was shown on Sports Scene, they had to explain that they didn't have the lines of the incident because they were told they weren't provided because it was so clear it was offside. And that really, really stinks because, we've got clear and obvious, which are have some form of consideration. You know, you deliberate on them. There's a decision to be made by studying the evidence. But we keep talking about offside as factual. So unless they can provide the lines and evidence of the factual decision, something's not right there.
It's absolutely and utterly patronising. For them to say to us, the consumer, that we don't deserve to have a look at it because their partner's on the head and saying it's so easy you wouldn't understand, don't worry about it. Utterly and absolutely patronising. It's pathetic. But it's not unusual of the SFA that they think that they can have process and procedure one minute and they ignore it the next. It's absolutely awful. Not that we have much faith in the crayon lines that they draw, but don't patronise us and say it's so obvious that we're not even going to bother our bum to show it. We are the consumer. They're there for our benefit, not the other way around. It's absolutely appalling.
I mean, Steve, that's a massive call on Aberdeen. They're still not safe yet in the relegation battle. That would have been a big 2 points in the total yesterday and might have helped them towards safety. It's a massive decision.
Absolutely.
I say that's a factual decision. So where's the factual evidence that the referee was shown to chop that goal? Because if it wasn't shown any lines, all they've done is shown him a still of where the ball was originally struck from the free kick. How is he supposed to look along that and call it? It's just ridiculous. If they haven't drawn those lines, that is a scandal.
Yep.
I think straight away, the first thing we've got to say is, and quite rightly agree with Steve, is we, as the consumer, as the supporter, are being treated like mugs. But not even that. Aberdeen have been treated with contempt there, not to show them the reason why a goal has been chopped off. Not even just a goal. It's a goal that would give them 3 points, would put them further up the league, would give them more money potentially in their budget for next season as well. That could be two players' salaries. Why are Aberdeen not being given the reasons for that to be shown? And for them to say that we're not shown yet, that's folly. Absolute folly. And I think the SPFL should be hanging their head in disgrace at that. Absolutely. SPFL and SFA to allow that to go out, that you cannot justify why that decision was made.
Yep.
I can't see it.
Absolutely scandalous. Yeah. Absolutely scandalous.
It's not right. It leaves a bitter taste in it, especially at a time when, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories and things floating about. They should be really tight on these things. They're leaving themselves wide open to criticism. Yeah, Aberdeen, I feel you're owed an apology. That's my personal opinion on it. I feel you're... I think there's been an error made there, and I wouldn't be surprised if they've just passed that off as the excuse. I feel you're owed an apology on that one. Dundee versus Motherwell. Penalty to Motherwell, the handball. Again, it's one of those we talk about, trying to get the arm out of the way. It's at close range. Nothing much you can do as it's coming towards you. It's a really harsh call. But in the current climate, again, you can understand why that's given. That's how I saw it. Is that how you both saw it?
Yeah. You know, how many times have we said it? In a sane world, that should never be anywhere approaching even being considered for a penalty. But in the current climate, yep. Dead set penalty.
Yeah, it's not too unsimilar to the Marcus Fraser one in the Swan Hearts. Joe Shaughnessy is there. The player's taking a shot at him. I'm sorry, I've used the analogy 1,000 times, but unless you're Usain Bolt, you're not getting your hand out of that way. It's ball to hand. It's not hand to ball. So I don't agree with it, but under current climate and under current interpretations of it, I can understand it.
Okay. I mean, on the decision itself, it's probably the most contentious point in the game. Obviously,
other than whether the game should have been on.
Other than the pitch.
I was hoping that you weren't going to open that conversation up again, because that'll be the rest of the hour taken up. Now, I think we made a fairly perfect report yesterday.
Yeah,
we made a point that on that one, it's not right, but see what you've done. Hibs versus St Johnston. Crikey. Marcondes headers the ball, cleaned out by the goalkeeper, Mirov. No VAR check. Astonishing stuff for me. Astonishing. Maybe that was just me. What did you both think of it? I mean, Des, do you want to... What's your thoughts on it?
I'll go first. I've seen boxers hit people less than that. That was an absolute stonewall red card. The goalkeepers came out. He went absolutely through him. I don't care whether he gets the ball. He's taking him with his hands and he's taking him with his knee as well. So it's a red card. The referee, Grant Irvin, I thought could probably have got it on the field. But how David Munro and VAR didn't pick it up, I'm surprised and disappointed at it.
I don't like picking on certain referees, but that's about the third time we've mentioned David Munro's name in 3 weeks. I mean, his decision here, he's sent off. I mean, I don't know how you can make so many blatant errors. They're not even like contentious and up for argument or debate. They're just clear wrong errors.
And Des calls me Mr. Mitigation. You look for mitigation in the ref. Who was it again? Was it Grant?
Grant Irvin.
We've all missed things on the pitch. You get one look at it, he might have been blinking, there might have been people crossing his view, you know, whatever. But he should have seen it. But you know, that won't be the last time that he makes mistakes like that, because he's human and we've all done it. He gets one look at it. I have absolutely no idea what David was looking at, if he didn't think that was worth a review. He punched him in the face and kneed him in the groin at the same time. You know, it's obviously not nearly as good, but it's up there with the Schumacher assault all those years ago. It's I don't know what, honestly, don't know what he was thinking.
How did we get to Schumacher?
punching and booting at the same time.
He's thinking Michael Schumacher dragging for Ferrari.
I know.
No, old Harold, remember? Look that one up if you've not seen it.
Who was the linesman in that game?
You.
I, what, 1982 in Spain? I was six.
Don't know, who was the linesman?
Bob Valentine.
Oh, well, there you are. But it was utterly, absolutely shocking. God knows how he didn't see that. God knows.
Can I get a question for you on that one? What's the card implications if they do look at it? I mean, would it be red, or is it with the yellow? What's the options open to a referee there if they had given the foul?
Anything, it's up to them, whatever sanction they want to apply for any foul. Was it violent? Was it serious foul play? Denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity? You'd have to have one of them for them to red card them. Personally, I don't think any of them apply, even though I've just said he punched them in the head and he kneed them. Every goalie is up with their knees up, and I think you could argue that he mistimed, you know, being polite or lenient, he mistimed his tackle, and you're going to punch the ball as a tackle for a goalie. So I think at the very least, then that was reckless and dangerous, so should have been a yellow, but I don't think it would be beyond that. But it's up to the ref what sanction he gives. But if David has deemed that there wasn't a foul in there, then there's no card to be considered.
Yeah.
No, the minimal that it should be given, it should be a yellow for recklessly dangerous. And the sanction that goes thereafter. But how it was missed, I can't comprehend it. And I can't defend it, and I won't defend it.
Agreed.
Habs, again, I think you're due an apology. They do these audits of VAR, and they say it's an independent panel that then obviously give their opinions and whether something's been right or wrong, and they proclaim that they've got 98.3% or something correct on so far in the season when they review it at the end of January. And it was 13 errors that they said, that pointed out 13 errors. We've been on, this is week 5 for us. I can probably count about 20-25, so it's going to be really interesting to see when that next review is done how many errors, because I think it's going to show things are not got better, they've got worse.
See, when it's an independent panel, who's paying for them? Who's hiring them?
Yes. We'll have a longer conversation on that one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's keep it lighthearted.
I know it's been one of those days already. Let's keep it lighthearted. I do want to point out in this game before we move on about the lad Sidibe, who followed his overhead kick goal last week with an amazing run from halfway, cut in for a tight angle, calm, composed finish. He looks a real find, like an absolute diamond. If he keeps those performances going, then St Johnstone are going to really struggle to keep a hold of him. There's something special about him. They signed him on a free from Warrington Rylands in the Northern Power League, which is the seventh pyramid of English football. And he's scoring worldies and solo runs in the Scottish Premiership.
So he's come from a pub team to running through the Hibs defence.
Right, where are we second? Right,
don't upset the Hibs fans, please, Steve.
He upsets everybody else.
Too late.
They're already upset after yesterday.
Do you know who's the manager of Warrington Rylands?
Oh, you don't know the answer to this.
I do.
Go on then.
Dean Furman.
Really?
Yes.
So, do you think there's any link for him to Levine and how he managed to unearth and sign this lad, Sidibe?
I don't know.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Uh-huh. And the only reason I know it is because I listened to another podcast during the week there. Not as good as our podcast, obviously. And it was Dean Furman, and I remember refereeing him back and goodness knows how long ago. And he's the manager of Warrington Rylands.
Oh, there you go. What a coincidence that I brought that up. There you go.
James, I've always called you Stato, but no. Dez isn't a mile behind you now.
No, he's just a geek boy. Really is. Anyway, I do think that St John's going to really struggle to keep a hold of him. He looks a real thing.
He looks a talent.
Yeah.
And before we move away from that one, I know there wasn't anything else happened, but how tight the offside was for that one. but what a cracking call from the assistant. Yeah. He saw that straight away, waved it on, told the ref that he was on, and it was a cracking decision without any automation, just being good at what you do.
Yeah, and we've got to be fair on that. As critical as we are sometimes, we will say when something is done right. You're quite right. Kilmarnock versus Ross County. The only thing that I've got to report on this game is the winds in Ayrshire were crazy yesterday. There was a video of I got into trouble for calling it the juniors on X the other day. It's not the juniors anymore. It's the West of Scotland Super League, whatever, right? And I got into trouble for one of the clubs for saying, we're not the juniors anymore. We've taken out our name. Apologies. I grew up in Ayrshire. It's always going to be the juniors to me.
It's always the juniors.
It's always the juniors.
I know. It was the Troon FC account had put up a goalkeeper taking her by kick and ending up in the sea. It's unreal. And I mean, Kilmarnock's just 2 minutes up the road from there, so you can expect what the wind and conditions were like.
I'm going to let you off for saying a by kick, James. We'll not pull you up for that.
Oh, come on. I already got enough grief for calling the laws the rules.
Laws, it's the laws.
What I will say in the game, the Kilmarnock fans at full time on X had been saying, oh, Ewan Anderson's performance is terrible, but I didn't see anything in the highlights to suggest that he performed badly. But I mean, I've not seen the 90 minutes. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's missed a few things you didn't agree with, etc. But another 3 points in the bag, so I'm sure.
Or maybe Ewan's just getting the blame for a really, really boring game.
Well, he was causing the wind.
Aye, it'd be his fault.
Nothing to report on that game. Another 3 points for Kilmarnock. Secures us top six, doesn't it? So they're now going to chase down a Euro place, and there's a couple of clubs in the contention there. Some are in also achieving the same. So on to the big one from the weekend, from today, that a lot of people have already at us with questions, etc. We're not going to be able to get through everything that people are asking and viewpoints. But we'll give our own. I'm going to start with the VAR penalty against Goldson. Steve, you were actually on a guest appearance on the Daily Record blog today, so you've already given your views on the incident. Just for the sake of our own viewers, if you just want to clarify your own views on that one, and then I'll get Des's comments on it.
On the Goldson one, it's one of my high horse causes. In a sane world, that's never a penalty. He didn't commit a foul. He wasn't trying to get an advantage from doing what he was doing. He had made a fair attempt, I think, at defending. His arms weren't in an outrageous position. He wasn't using his arms, weren't above his head. But in the current climate, having your elbow out like that is making yourself big, and it's unnatural. So in the current climate, that's a penalty. Should never be, but in the current climate, every day that's a penalty.
Yeah, so before the old law came in, that was probably one that you would look at and say, you know, there's nothing deliberate about that.
No.
But obviously, they've taken the deliberate aspect out, and they've added all this thing about sleeve lines and frames, and we've seen the diagrams. Everybody's looked at them and had a good chuckle at them. Des, do you have any different opinion on that?
No. I concur with what Steve said. But what I'm most surprised at is that's probably the first time the Harlem Globetrotter has conceded a penalty.
Still the best goalie in Scotland.
Yeah. Alan McGregor's passed on his mantle well.
Yeah, he's. I know there have been a couple in the past where he's been caught with the limbs flailing, and in some cases, quite rightly, has put his hands up to protect his face, and that's been taken into consideration. But I know there's been a lot of people talking about the ones that weren't.
Is that what we're saying? He put it up to protect his face. Is that?
So yeah. I agree. I agree completely. It's a penalty in the current climate and under the current IFAB laws. There's no complaints, I think, anyone really has about it. VAR penalty, Johnston on Silva. One thing I want to raise on this before we move on is the video that we got on the TV originally and what the VAR decision was based on this was from one camera from the line looking back onto it. I did, just as before we went on live, send you one that shows you a diagonal camera angle looking at it, and that kind of changed my decision from a way as being unsure if there was any contact to from what I've seen on that, and I'll share it as on screen when this goes out, that it looks appears to be actually clear contact. And there was an important lesson for me on this one as well, was that the pundits are giving their views on it because Silva has previously already gone to the ground after an interaction with Alistair Johnston, where he's been rolling around and he's already getting labelled effectively a cheat by the pundits that are on the telly at the time and critical. And I've seen a lot of Rangers fans as well saying that they weren't really happy with Silva rolling around, they'd rather he'd been just up and getting on with it. But I don't think that's done him any favours when it's come to this decision, because he was immediately, the minute he went down, they went, he's dived. We had Chris Sutton saying it. I heard Kenny Miller say it effectively as well. But when you actually look back on it, then I'm not sure that Johnston's foot makes any contact with the ball at all. Silva has got an opportunity to get back to the ball. Johnston's leg is across Silva, and as he brings it across, it does strike his knee. Whether the contact's enough to go down or not, that nobody can know that for sure. But I can see why John Beaton was called by Nick Walsh to go and look at that, and I can understand we've seen that in slower motion or whatever to see the contact and to award the penalty. It's one of those, as for me, I don't think there's no contact, and if there is contact, then it becomes a contentious matter as to whether it was enough to go down. But for me, I can see why it was given and have no problems why it was given. Des?
It's a contentious one for me. I can understand why it was given. I don't think that Silva helped himself with his antics prior in the game. And when you get the other view on it, is there enough contact for him to go down? And I know that's not always the case anymore, because any contact now is deemed to be a penalty. Personally, would I be looking for it? I don't know. And I'm not convinced by it. I can accept it, but I'm not convinced by it. We can't get away with what we said previously. Fabio Silva's antics prior to that were embarrassing.
Yeah, but I did think it was a bit disappointing, because people are led by the commentary they're getting on the game, and when two people are saying he's been doing soft there or he's cheated, he's dived, right? That's the impression. Chris Sutton's words were along the lines of that's an absolute dive. He's being rewarded for a dive. Whereas the video, people are blaming John Beaton for giving that, right? And it's Nick Walsh who's... Nick Walsh has called John Beaton to look at it. Nick Walsh is convinced there's contact in the angles that he's looking at. If he's then showing John Beaton and he's convinced of the contact and what he's looking at, then that's two referees that are convinced that that's an infringement and a foul. That's not on John Beaton alone. You know, that's Nick Walsh has called them. That's their opinion that was a foul. And that's why I can accept that decision.
Yeah. Listen, I've got no issue with that at all. Nick has seen it differently from John, because he's got obviously got different angles on it from John, right? That's what VAR's there for. John's came across, him and Nick have obviously had the conversation, and they've agreed to go with it. Personally, in my opinion, is there enough contact there? No, I don't think there is. But I understand when somebody sticks a leg out, they run the risk of another player taking the opportunity. And to go back to what you were saying about the pundits, I think it is entirely wrong of Chris Sutton to have went down the route he's went. Now, I would never use the word cheat, because I think that's an embellishment on any particular player. But his antics before it were embarrassing. On that one incident, which is the only one that we can...
So to clarify, that's the Johnson incident where him and Johnson have come together, and it looks as if Johnson has made contact with him. He was booked for it, was contact, but we felt it, and I think most people can't deny the rolling about and holding his face. It didn't warrant that for the level of contact that was seen.
We've seen Silva go down a few times during the game, rolling about, and then all of a sudden got up and he's running away. And you're like, well, you're clearly trying to con somebody. But with regards to the penalty incident, it's not enough. It's not enough contact to make a penalty for me.
Steve?
I agree completely. We'll go back to the first one when he went down with the first Alistair Johnson tackle. That, what he did there was an utter and absolute affront. He, the sole outcome that he was looking for there was to deceive John Beaton, deceive the ref, and to get his opponent sent off. There's no other way around it. That is cheating. I won't call him a cheat, but that was cheating. And everybody's allowed a one-off. If that is repeated, then you might have to reconsider it. But that incident there was cheating. And at the very least, he should have been yellow-carded. And as Des and I have said umpteen times before, that should be a retrospective red card. It was utterly disgraceful. And I always look at these things with the doctor head on. See if you've got something that is sore. The last thing you want to do is move it. So he's rolling about, writhing on the ground. You know instantly that nothing's sore. It was an absolute embarrassment. You should be ashamed, and so should his club. As for the penalty, I don't think it was a penalty. I think he was going down already. And I think what John gave on the field was absolutely the correct decision. I'm not denying that there might not have been contact in that, but not all contact is a foul. And if you look at it, Johnson was trying to get his leg out the way. So there was no attempt, there was no trip, there was no foul. The way I see it, that John called it correctly. But my great bugbear about VAR, and we've just demonstrated it, there's three of us here, three differing opinions, each one of them absolutely valid and each one of them absolutely justifiable, which means there was no clear and obvious error. And we have to come to a place where the game isn't re-refereed and going on the opinion of the VAR. Where in the laws of the game does it say in the opinion of VAR? It doesn't. If you think differently in a challenge from the way that I do, and it's just an opinion, keep your opinion to yourself. You're there to correct fact, and that's why VAR should not have been involved in that.
Okay, I think everybody said their piece on that one then. The last one was the...
That was another bugbear of mine. They're all coming out today.
This is just your therapy sessions. Just come on here at the vent now.
I can tell you this, you're not going to go and be down to Govan to buy a pint of milk anytime soon, are you?
No.
When's the last time I could do that?
You have no idea the amount of traffic on that you're going to drive towards the account tonight.
Just as a wee shaggy dog story, I've been booed off many a pitch in my time. Ibrox is the only place I've been booed on.
why were you booed on?
That was me.
The last one in that game was the Rangers' original equaliser for two each that was chopped, coming quickly after the penalty was scored. It was, I think it was only a few minutes later. It's funny as we talk about them all the time. VAR going back and looking for reasons to chop off goals. They've gone back to the very start of the phase in play. Looks like football contact. Doesn't it look as if there's a lot in that at all? Not enough to chop a goal off for me. It really isn't. I'm not sure it's clear and obvious header for why you'd want to look and call it for that. Again, it's a re-refereeing of games decision for me. And I'm just at a loss with VAR when it comes to these things, like to go back and look over back and back looking for reasons to chop off goals. It is just another one of those for me. Steve, how did you see that one?
Much along the same sort of lines. And I think it so takes away from the enjoyment of the game that you score and automatically you just stand still looking for VAR, looking for somebody to chop the goal off. That's what it's become, a fancy goal chopper off. I don't have, again, in the current climate, I don't have an issue with it being chopped off because there's no time scale to it. And they can look as far back as the beginning, you define it, the beginning of the attacking move that led to the goal. So the fact that they go back the 3 days to the beginning of when that attack became offensive, and the current climate, I don't have an issue with it being chopped off. I do think it's a nonsense, and surely we must be using VAR for better purposes than looking for reasons to disallow goals.
Des?
I hate to keep saying it. I totally agree. It's almost anti-football, isn't it? If John thought at that moment in time it was a foul, he would have given it. That's a clear and obvious. The guy's still got another, what was it, almost at the halfway line. So you've got another 40 yards of play to still progress to then have that impact on a goal to chop it off. So no, I don't agree with the goal being chopped off at all. I think it was wrong. And again, VAR's there for clear and obvious errors. You're not there to see if it's there for clear and obvious errors. That's what it's for. See if you want to re-referee games. We'd be here for 2 weeks to play one game, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So I entirely do not think that goal should have been chopped off. I think taking it back that far was wrong. And John's the man in the park. John's the one in control. He's seen it. Halfway line. No. Play on. Okay. That's it. Got on with it.
Do you think that's a clear and obvious error?
No.
Steve?
No, not especially. And VAR, again, a foul looks different to everybody else. I don't think that it's fair on the team that gets a goal disallowed, but I don't think it's fair on the ref that somebody's going to look all the way back to see a foul that started the move that they scored from. I don't think it's fair, but as I said before, in the current climate, the laws being the laws, not that I like them, I don't have an issue with that being chopped off. But again, it's re-refereeing. It's asking somebody else what their opinion on a foul is when it's already been given by the referee. It's a nonsense, but that's where we are. It's a horrible, lazy phrase, but it's true in this instance. That's exactly where we are.
It's having two referees on every game.
Yeah. I just like to close off on the actual game itself because we had talked through the week about saying, you know, we don't want the game to be decided by a VAR decision. The criticism that obviously has been aimed at John Beaton over the weekend, we've been quite honest about our opinion on our referee, whether he was right or wrong, he was put in that position to referee that game, depending on what side of argument people are on that he would remain professional and do his duty. And I don't think he had a terribly bad game. I think he might have shown more conviction in his own decision-making at times, but considering the situation he was in such a high pressure game, I thought he'd done a really decent job. I think that Nick Walsh and Vars did a relatively decent job as well. But football won. There was moments of brilliance that led to that football match ending up level. There was a great pass in for the finish from Ida. There was a great finish, obviously, from Matondo. That's football, deciding football matches. I was quite happy that we got an outcome that was based on the talent that we've seen on the park on the day. And I really commend the managers at full time when players were going at each other and they immediately went to the park and they grabbed their own players and pulled them away and put them back in line. And that often doesn't happen enough these days. And I think it did some of their own players a favour, because I think if it was allowed to boil over, it could have turned into a couple of cards elsewhere that might come back and bite later. So I applaud them both for coming onto the park and getting their players in line. I thought it was a really good game of football. It's a great advert. It's the biggest selling point for Scottish football. And I think any neutral that's looking on that today would say, wow, no, that's the spectacle. We haven't seen a game like that for a number of years between the two. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it was the football in the park that won today. I'd rather that people talk about that than VAR. I know that doesn't happen. And I've been consistent in that message for the last couple of weeks that we get so caught up talking about referees and VAR that we forgot to talk about the moments of brilliance and the talent. And when you want to bring talent to this country, and they suddenly got picking up the paper or reading social media the next day about the moment of brilliance, and instead it's been discussed about what the referee done on the day. That's a really sad state of affairs. I think there's some great moments in today's game to talk about, and I hope it's not overshadowed by the decisions, because as far as I'm concerned, I was relatively satisfied with every decision made in the game. Do you have any closing comments, Steve?
I think it was a cracking game of football. As much as it's possible to be, I hope that they talk about the cracking game of football. But sadly, we all live in the same place, so we know that penalty is going to be discussed. But it was a cracking game. And other than disagreeing with John changing his mind, I thought the team had a great game. I wish he'd stuck to his guns, but he had a great game. And we've been at pains in the last few years when talking about the Celtic Rangers games to commend all the match officials, all the teams involved, because it's not like the old days, the heydays, when you were getting 2-3 sent off and defenders were grabbing forward by the throat. It's paid in a sporting, friendly manner. There's one or two individuals who let themselves down, but otherwise, I think you commend everybody involved in both teams.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that after the first 10 minutes, obviously Celtic taking that early lead, John was quite happy to let the reins go, let the players go for it. I thought a couple of Celtic players, I thought Carter Vickers was pushing it. But what a great game. What a great 3 each, goals chopped off, penalties awarded, nobody sent off, and both managers commendably looking after the players at the end. What a game.
Yep. Well, again, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much again to our sponsors, Speaks Group and Roxburgh Insurance Group. And if you need insurance, the great people at Roxburgh Insurance will help you out. I want to thank Des and Steve for their time as always. And thank you very much for all your support, your content, and keep messaging us, keep watching the videos, follow, like, and subscribe. It's Behind TW Pod on YouTube, on X. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Take care, all. Thank you.
Cheers.